Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I
long
once more to be.
Once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy,
they
bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy
they
bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, as we open your word, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to guide us, Father, and to take us into the depth of this, your word. Now, Father, have him with us throughout the remainder of this evening, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes. All right. I'm going to be talking to you this evening from couple of places in the Bible, but mainly from 1 John chapters 3 and 4, mainly in chapter 4. But this day and time in which we are living, most that you will come in contact with are living in fear. They've got fear of a lot of things today. And we're not supposed to live with fear, because we have the Lord God with us. And we know that things are going to come to us and come against us. Mankind's going to come against each one of us, do things to us that shouldn't be done. But we're not to stand in fear of it, because we have one with us to take care of us and keep us and get us through whatever we need to go through. Because we have to walk as a child of Almighty God. And in order to get into heaven, there's no halfway doing it. You've got to be a born again child of God, or else you're not going to make heaven your home. Well, in 1 John chapter 3, lets us know about that, but it also lets us know about a lot of other things and how to walk. And it lets us know that we cannot walk in sin and make heaven our home. The Word of God teaches us strongly, and it teaches us straight. Not like man wants to do, make long-winded speeches and pretty stories out of it to make it say what he wants it to say. I got a hold here, I guess it's been a couple of weeks back, I had a plan sent to me through the mail. I didn't even know the man. In fact, until then, I had never even heard of it. But it was sent to me from the World Challenge Pulpit Series. That's where it comes from. But we'll say one thing. The man that put this out was a man of God. And it's on Living Without Fear. Let you see it. Because you ain't gonna make one message out of this. Probably a series of about three or more. All of that four pages of it is all on Living Without Fear. That's what that's all about. And actually, I could read that to you. Just read it. And it would make you probably three good services. I know, I've read it through. In fact, I've read part of it twice. And it's right down with the Word. And he gives you the Word where he gets all the stuff from. You can go to the Bible, and it's right there. Because I did. I wanted to see, and just to make sure whether it was right or wrong. And it was right. Now, but today we're going to be here in chapter 3. And we'll be probably maybe getting into 4, but I'm not too sure about that. 4 is a whole lot on fear. Chapter 3 is on you and I walking in righteousness and walking strict as a born-again child of God. So beginning here with verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. He's starting out there with a pretty strong verse, just that one verse. Because, you know, we are very fortunate that he made a way that you and I could be called sons of God. It was something we couldn't do on our own. mankind even after God had gave him the law. He wasn't doing a very good job of being the Son of God. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came into this earth to make a way for you and I. You see, God had made a lot of promises to our forefathers and to Abraham, which is considered the father of all of us that are actually called Christians today, that live by faith. It was a covenant and a promise that was made by God to him. And we've seen the fulfilling of it. He never got to see it, but we have. But so many are not living it. Verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Letting us know we don't really know what it'll be like, do we? We just know it's going to be a lot better than the life we've got here. There'll be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears. And we'll be spending them with those years with the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know exactly what we'll be like when we step into that celestial body. We know it's going to be different, yes. A whole lot different. Some of us has had a little glimpse, but just a glimpse of what it will be like. And as we studied the four Gospels, we got just a very small statement about the way it'll be. But most of us, as we studied it and even as we read it, really didn't think about it to understand. This body that we are in, this fleshly body that we are in here on the earth, it is limited. And it's confined in a lot of ways. That heavenly body is not. Jesus himself, after his death and resurrection, when he went to see his disciples for the first time, they were in a place, in a room, the upper room, with the door shut. And Jesus appeared right there in the middle of them, body and all. They could see him. How'd he get in? That body's not containable anymore. You say, well, Pastor, how would you know that? Well, you see, I had him move me one time. I told you all about it before, some of you. I don't know whether you that are here now heard it or not. I was worried about my mother and dad. They'd both been sick. I lived 14 miles away, and I had no way at the time of getting to them to see about them. And I went to praying about them. and asking God how they was.
He picked me up in my house, moved me 14 miles, set me down in their house. I look just like I look now. To me, sitting there, and I could see them getting around and knew they were all right, yet they didn't see me, but I saw them. Then he picked me up, took me back 14 miles, put me back in my old home. Same way. We didn't walk through no open doors.
That body is not containable. And yet it's a body that functions. There's a whole lot for you and I to really realize and begin to get a better grip on than what we have. We've let so much go. Now, this next verse is another one that has caused a lot of controversy, especially in today's church. Verse 3, and every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Do you really see what that's saying? Yet everybody you'll talk to will tell you, they ain't nobody perfect. If you're pure, you're perfect. Because if there's anything outside that's in you, then you're not pure. You make a cup of tea, and if all you have done is got the tea there, then that tea is a perfect cup of tea. But you go to adding to it, it's not perfect anymore, is it? But it's the same way with your life. It's either working for God or it's not. But we are to become perfect, spiritually perfect. We're going to find out a whole lot more about that as we study these two verses that are two chapters I'm talking about. May not get into all of it today, but we'll be into it within the next one anyway. Now, 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Verse 5, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. There's no sin in Jesus. We're going to find out that we are to be as he is, which means we've got to be without sin. In fact, this next verse, I want you to listen to it very closely. Whosoever abideth in him. Now, I'm going to stop right there and ask you, are you abiding in Jesus and Jesus in you? That's what we're told we're supposed to be. We're to be in him and him in us. And whosoever that does abide in him sinneth not. You don't commit sin. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. So if you got sin in your life, you've never really met him. You've never really been forgiven. God's word, not mine. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. You've got to be righteous just like Jesus is. And now when they commit sin, well, here's what the Word of God tells you about that. He that committeth sin is of the devil. How'd the devil get in there? But he did, didn't he? Now, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. You see, that's what he came to do, was to destroy Satan's work among mankind. To make a way so you and I can make heaven our home. Verse 9. Whosoever is born of God, and I don't care where you go to church, when you talk to people, the church members, they'll tell you they're born again. Are they? Well, let's find out. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. For his seed, the Holy Spirit, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. You're a born again child of God? Then you can't sin. You sin, you ain't born of God. And as his word said, you've never known him. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil, whosoever does not righteousness, is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. A whole lot of this, and a whole lot of some of the greatest sins that we do or have done, put it that way, was actually done in and through the church. Because you see, this his brother, the brother he's talking about, is your church brothers and sisters, and we are to love them. We're not to hold a grudge against any of them. We're to be loving each and every one of them and praying for the very best for them, regardless of what they've done to us. Eleven. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Well, we know that is why Cain killed Abel. God accepted Abel's sacrifice because it was as it should be. He wouldn't accept Cain's because Cain's sacrifice wasn't as it should have been, wasn't what it should have been. because it wasn't done with the right mind and the right heart. And it had no blood with it at all, because it was stuff he had grown. It was an animal. Marvel not, my brother, if the world hates you. Well, we talk about this quite often, about people not liking us, people lying about us. They'll lie to us and they'll lie on you. But you can't hold a grudge. You pray for them. You pray that they can be a way found for them to change and come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that none be lost. Now, we're told that the world's going to hate us. In 14, he says, we know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Because this death he's talking about is spiritual death. Because you see, when we don't love our brother, we're separated from God. That's walking death. Moreover, or whosoever, 15, hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Just to hold a grudge against somebody will classify you in God's eyes as being a murderer. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brother. We're even to be ready to give our lives for our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Think about that. Most of us, we don't even want to turn loose of something to help them. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brother. But, 17, whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother in need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? When we see our brothers, he's talking about those that are our Christian brothers here. That's what he's talking about. And when we see them in need, and we've got the means to help them, and we don't do it, we're standing wrong. And we're standing outside of the will of Almighty God. And he said, there's no love of God in us when we won't help them if we've got the need to do it and the means to do it. And it may mean a little sacrifice on our part, but we do it. Because when we are walking in and in accordance with God and his word, even though to us at the time we may make a sacrifice, but God will take care of our needs. He'll find a way to take care of of our needs. But we've got to be walking in His Word. And with His Word, we've got to be living it. You know, I've had people come here to the church needing help. And we give them help. They never even come back to thank you. They don't even come back and say thanks. We've had several families even that we have helped. In fact, several since we've been here. They've never even come back to thank us. But you see, God helped us. So really, we come out the better for it. And not just financially helped us, which He did, but even took us deeper into His Word and gave us more to live by and how to walk and live stronger than what we was doing. At the time, we didn't know that, but we done what His Word had told us to do. Now, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. We don't just speak that we'll help, but we do it. He said, we do it in deed. You know, you come to me and you say, well, you know, I'm out of groceries. I've got nothing to eat. And I tell you, well, now I'm going to pray for you. So you're going to be well now. Then I just turn you loose. What good did I do you? None. I didn't do you no good, did I? I didn't give you what you needed. That's what God's Word has warned us about. I'm to give you what you need. Now, He told us there, not just in tongue, not just to talk it, but we got to do it. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. We thank God that we can do these things, that we have the ability to be able to help others, and that we do it, and we thank God for that. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. God knows all things. We can't hide nothing from Him. He knows a lot of your thoughts really before you think them. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then have we confidence toward God. You see, when you are a child of God and something comes up, the Spirit will guide you. And if you don't follow that guidance, your heart's going to let you know it. In fact, it's your heart that's going to guide you to do the right thing. Because it ain't going to let you rest till you get it done. And then once again, they'll say, well, Now, Pastor, you don't know that for sure. Yes, I do. Because I was asked for help one time. And at the time, the church couldn't help. Didn't have it. So I told them I'd pray for them, wished them well. And I told them, I said, church just don't have it. They left. About an hour later, the Lord talking to me. He said, well, you know, you were right. The church didn't have it, but you got it. Why didn't you help them? I had to go to the bank and get the money and go find them. And then my heart left me alone. But until I handed them that money, my heart wasn't letting me alone. Kept me guilty. And it wasn't a loan, so it wasn't given to them for me to get it back. Now, 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We know that we have what we ask of him because we are keeping his commandments. That's why we can go to him and ask something and know he'll answer. Because actually he has already answered. You know, here lately, I'd always thought that I knew how to pray and ask God for things. Spent a lot of years praying and asking God. Lord God, heal me. Lord, now I got this wrong. Lord, heal this. Well, sometimes he would, sometimes he wouldn't. I couldn't figure that out. Why is it that when I ask, sometimes you just won't do it? Well, not too long ago, he let me know. You don't pray right. He said, something comes up. You come to me and ask me to take care of it. He said, I already took care of it. It's on you. Talk to it. Speak to it. Condemn it. Tell it to go away in Jesus' name. It's got to go. And then thank me for it. And he said, don't ask me to do it again. I've already done it. He done it at the cross. He took it all to the cross with him. He took every sickness, every disease, every sin to the cross. And yet we go to him and, well, Lord, I need this. Lord, give me this. If it is something you really need, he already done. Go to him and say, Lord, I was in need of this, and I thank you for it. Thank you for giving it to me. And you'll find that you'll have it. May not be instant, but you'll find you've got it. He don't make promises he don't keep. Some of them are a little ways down the road. Look at the promise he made to our father, Abraham, about the Lord Jesus coming.
Look how many years down the road before it came to pass. But it came, didn't it? Just like he said.
Told Noah to build an ark. Because it's going to be a flood. How long did it take Noah to build that ark? 40 years. But it came just like God told him it would. Him and the animals went in, and God shut the door and started the rain and started opening up all of the waterways to flood this earth. You know, we stop and wonder sometimes how things are possible. We live on this earth
that is round. Those on the bottom won't, they fall off. When the flood came, the whole earth was flooded. From up over to the top of the mountains. How does it sound the bottom?
Because God helps it there. Just like he's doing with mankind today, because you see, this earth turns. There's times we're on the bottom. We just don't think about that, do we? But this earth is on an axis that turns. That's what changes our seasons. A lot of things we just don't put enough time in thinking about to really understand the ways of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and Almighty God. All right, now, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Because you see, that was his commandment. We are to love our Christian brothers. That is what he's commanding you and I to do. And he that keepeth his commandments, what do? We dwelleth in him. We're in him. And he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he has given us. You see, we have the complete deity of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all living within us when we are a born-again child of the living God. That's why we can do the things he tells us to do. On our own, we can't do any of it. We can't do none of it on our own. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. Stop and think about the four Gospels. This is something Jesus just now gave me. You're getting it firsthand. Stop and think about you. And Jesus coming to earth. Jesus never done any miracles of any kind until he was 30 years old. Why? Because he wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. He wasn't filled until he was baptized by John, and then we're told by Scripture that the Holy Spirit, in the form that looked like a dove, come down and lit on him and filled him with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. His ministry then lasted 3.5 years.
And until we are all filled with the Holy Spirit, we're not going to do any great wonders either. I know. Because it's that Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit tells you when and actually who. He lets you know when you're praying for somebody, whether it's their time or not. Like the lady there in the hospital when I was working in the hospital. Laid in a coma 4 months. 4 months in a coma. Sunday school class coming in every Sunday. Well, she went to church, getting around her bed, praying for her. And they'd leave. They was always coming in by the time I had to take care of her. They come in that, they told me one day, said, we know that you're a pastor. Won't you ever pray with us? I told them, I said, because the Lord ain't told me to. They looked at me like I had two heads. They come in one Sunday. I stepped out in the hallway and let them have their prayer. And they come out and they were standing in the hallway talking. I went in, walked up the side of the bed. The Spirit spoke to me and said, today's her day. I laid my hands on the rail, looked at her, and the Spirit says, tell her. I looked at her and I said, hun, you have to tell me what you want me to do. Nothing happened. Told her a second time. The only thing that happened was the women out in the hallway heard me, stuck her head around the door, said, you know she can't hear you. Unless so she didn't know anything about anything, period. Because they can hear. They can't answer you, but they can hear. But I spoke the third time and told her, hun, you'll have to tell me what you want me to do. Her hand come up off of that bed, reached down and laid down on top of mine. Her eyes opened up. She looked up at me and says, yes, pray for me. I said, yes, hon, now I can. And the Spirit spoke to her and told her, said, you are healed. The next day, she was across the street in rehab, getting strength back in her legs because she had laid 4 months without moving her legs and getting her balance back. The hospital put her there. She may not even needed to go because the Lord might have given it to her. But they put her there. I don't know how long she's in there because I never seen her after that.
But God takes care of us when we will look to Him. And that's why we don't have to walk in fear. And we'll probably be getting into that part of this message come Sunday morning. We're going to close out now. And most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we do thank you for a place that we can come to study and to share your word with each other and to help us to reach out to the community in which we live, Father, with your word to help others that maybe don't even go to church, Father, but the Holy Spirit, may He work with us to help to bring them into the church, Father, to where they can hear more about the Lord Jesus Christ and His love of them so that they can find a way, Father, to turn around and to move closer to Him. Take their troubles, their sins to Him to be forgiven so that they too, Father, can find the Lord Jesus Christ, find light and make heaven their home. Now, Father, for Jerusalem and Israel, we pray, Heavenly Father, for peace for them. But even more than that, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. And Father, this land of ours turned its back and walked so far away, taking him out of every place he was in, Father. Help us now, Father, to replace them with ones that will work for him, for the church, and for your people, Father. And help us to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for our prayer list, as each name is called, I pray that the Holy Spirit can touch them to fulfill whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Dennis Lee, James Taylor and myself, Bobby and Millie Johnson, all of our families, Father, because we all have family members that are not saved. And I ask the Holy Spirit to work with them, to help them, Father, come to the saving knowledge of Jesus so that they too can make heaven their home and none be lost. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy's husband, Tom, Amy and Tom's young son, Jacob, Terry Coates, Dennis Breeden, his wife, Tina, brothers in Christ, Aaron Brandenburg, Pastor Small, the Glory Bound Church, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church, the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay, Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie. Jackie needs that healing touch. May she accept your touch and give you thanks, Father, for that healing power. That little Full Gospel Church of God there at Akron, these churches, Father, not only lighthouses for the community to where they stand, but make them places of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. And Father, for my three friends in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyr Iron, Keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. Father, for the Johnson family, for Jimmy Emery, for Sharon Mombello, her mother, for Sue and Dave Branson, for Palin Goodman, for Karen. Father, these all stand in need of a healing touch. That healing touch has been given, Father. Some needs it spiritually, some needs it physically, and others probably need help, Father, financially. Father, we thank you for all the things you've done for mankind. We give you praise. We give you honor and all the glory, Father, that we can. And we pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless. All right. Remember, God willing, come Sunday morning, we can all be together again and back into the Word of God. So until then, walk with Him and He'll walk with you. Have a great night. Bye-bye now.